Hey, great to see you. Thank you for coming out on a Friday night. You know, don't despise the day of small beginnings, because small beginnings lead to great things in the kingdom of God. Just some things prophetically stirring in my spirit. Okay, and we are here like lightning rods to witness what God wants to bring in the earth. God is the Word. We're the voice. God is the Word. We're the voice, not just audibly, but you even being in your chair is a voice. You being here tonight and participating is an expression in the earth. God never does anything in the earth without human expression, because God gave man dominion over the works of his hands. God is not in control. We are, but he's in charge, and he wants us to be intimate with him so that what we're in control of can change. Now, God is sovereign in his abilities, and he intervenes and interjects and brings his amazing grace to change things, but he wants us to participate in that. And we sang it tonight. We sang it tonight in that first song, that our faith would move a mountain. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that you are people of faith, and you've been on a journey of faith. From the very foundation of the establishing of this church, there's been faith. But faith is constantly on the move, because faith is constantly in a place called now. And I hear God saying, I'm doing a new thing in this season and in this time, and it's a new measure of faith. You sang it earlier when you said faith would move the mountain. But the mountains are made of stones, and the stones of the past will keep you in the past. But the stones of the present will lead to a greater fullness that is set upon the foundation of the things that were before. And God says the faith of the kingdom is a faith of life, and the smallest seed, the seed of a mustard seed, can move a mountain. One tiny little speck of life in my kingdom, God says, will bring forth the expansion of my kingdom that cannot be stopped. So get ready, because I'm taking you to another measure of grace. I'm taking you to another level, a greater place. And in that reality, you're going to see that faith is going to take on a whole new dimension, and the influence of who you are is going to have an impact in this community in a greater way. Okay, so we'll see what sponsor has to say later on, but he paid for the programming, so we'll let him speak out loud whenever. But I have a message this weekend. I'm going to talk on a theme of the past, the present, and the future. And so tonight I want to talk about foundations. And so let's apply this in your individual life, and let's apply this in the corporate life. I was just talking with Pastor before I came in here, because I'm, you know, 64 in this season, and I got a few friends who have transitioned into glory. And I found myself a few weeks ago, just out of my spirit, coming this thing of back in the day. It was almost a grieving, but it wasn't entirely negative. There was some things, well, back in the day, back in the day. You know, when you get a little white hair on your face, or white hair on your head, or you don't have any hair on your head anymore, you start having a lot of back in the days. And you can remember back in the days. And some of the back in the days feel good, and some of the back in the days make you feel a little grieved that, wow, what happened to back in the day? Okay? But I believe that there's a healthy way to release the back in the day and realize that God is going to birth something new now that's going to create another back in the day for the future. So I don't want to reject the past. I want the things of the past to take on a greater reality in the things of the present. So in our lives, we have a foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17 talks about our foundation in Christ. And I want to pick up on a few verses, particularly beginning at verse 11. In verse 11, it says, no other foundation can anyone lay which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation of my life is Jesus Christ. The foundation of your life is Jesus Christ. Right now in society, people are wrestling to discover true authenticity. How do you say authentic? Authenticity. How do you say authenticity? Did I say that right? Man, that doesn't sound right. Sounds like babble. Authenticity. Authenticity. Is that it? Authenticity? Man, that sounds like tongues. Authenticity. To be authentic. That sounds more real, doesn't it? To be authentic. People are wrestling to find what is truly authentic. It's amazing. We've had this era on even television where we've had for many, many years now, in this whole millennium, we've had these called reality shows, right? But if you look at them, they're not reality. Okay, they're not reality. They're pretend reality. Okay, the other day I was watching one of those reality shows, and they were doing a reality hunt. And I do a little hunting, you know this. And they were talking on the show, this reality, I won't tell you which reality show it was. I don't want to ruin your reality show. But they were out hunting, and they were talking about how they were using this bow. They're experts with a crossbow. And in their hands, they had a compound bow. I'm thinking, okay, if they're excellent with a crossbow, why don't they get one? Because they're carrying a compound bow. So my point is, in the midst of a time when everybody wants authentic, they're grabbing onto things that aren't authentic. And God wants us to grab onto things that are authentic. But the only place you're going to find what's real is with the right foundation. So Jesus Christ is the foundation of my life. No other foundation do we have in our life other than Jesus Christ. Now it says in verse 12, now if anyone builds, do you think it's a good idea to build? Think it's a good idea to build. You start with a foundation and then what do? You build. You start with a foundation and then you build. I've been a believer for 46 and a half years. I started with a foundation and I've been building. I got married 42 years ago, started with a foundation, been building. I ended up with three kids, had a foundation, been building. Four grandbabies, who knows, maybe another grandbaby in another year. Maybe. Okay, so we keep expanding, we keep building things. But if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, anytime you see something mentioned six times in the Bible, if you see the number six or something mentioned six times, building material, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw. How many times? Six. That means it has to do with mankind. Six in the Bible is always about man. Always. Promise you. Take it to the bank. So this has to do with mankind building something. But it's split into two divisions, three and three. Three things are gold, silver, and precious stone. Three other things are wood, hay, and straw. And then it says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Now, that's not just an event in the future, but God's manifest presence in your life increasingly will declare what materials you're building with. Okay, my eschatology, how does it all turn out? I'm a maturationist culminationist. That means glory to glory, he's changing me. And what he's done in the very first, he's doing continually again and again and again until he's completed a good work in me. So how I begin a thing is increasingly becoming a glory in my life, like a mustard seed, it's growing. Like leaven, it's filling a loaf. Like a stone, it's becoming a great mountain. There's no end to the increase of his government or peace. Okay, so the day of the Lord is a constant coming to an ultimate culmination, whatever that looks like. But I'm not waiting for another moment. I'm embracing the day. But the day of God in my life is proving what material I'm building with. Okay, now you're going to find that you're going to have many experiences of the day of God in your life. And the day of God in your life is going to prove what material you're building with. Sometimes God shows up and it's like everything vanishes. If everything disappears when God shows up, maybe God showed up to give us a reevaluation of what we're building with. Or maybe God shows up to prove that what we're building with actually gets greater with his fire. Okay, so the day will declare it. For the fire will test each one's work. The fire will test each one's work. Okay, fire is a process. It tests each one's work. It's not just an event in the future, but fire tests each one's work. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures what? The fire. Endures what? the fire. What fire? The fire of God. Well, do you remember John the Baptizer? He baptized with water. He baptized into an identity that said, we need a Savior. Jesus came and he was that identity as the Savior. So when we're baptized in water as faith or God, we get baptized into Jesus. But John said that this Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We like that Holy Spirit stuff, but that fire stuff, we think, well, you know, let's just delay that a little bit. We don't need any fire. Okay? Let's get baptized in the Holy Spirit. By the way, baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. It's a way of life. You know, I went out in my garden the other day and I picked some Sorrento peppers. I like Sorrentos. Anything hotter is good. And I picked me some nice Sorrentos and I went and I roasted them a little bit. And then I made me some sweet pickle brine and I pickled sweet hot pickles. I roasted them so the seeds got I sliced them a little so the sweet juice can get in there. I learned this in one of the countries I travel in. They do hot sweet pickles in Bulgaria. So I wanted to change them. Now, they are no longer Sorrento peppers. They are now hot, sweet pickles, which means they're in a process of baptism. They're being baptized in this sweet juice as hot peppers. And, oh, man, I'm going to experience them in the next couple of months after they've been properly baptized. Okay, we're being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are being pickled. You are being submerged in the Holy Spirit, not as a one-time experience. Little tongues coming out of you, that's just the initial experience. That's not the reality of the deal. You need to be sweetened up a little bit. You need to be pickled a little bit. You need to be submerged in the manifest presence of God until it starts flowing out of you as a way of life, not just an experience in church services. But 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you need to be submerged in the Holy Spirit till it's overflowing. Ah, shikarone hat. You need to have a testimony of you that if you're the same now as you were when you came to Jesus, you haven't been pickled enough. You need to get submerged in the Holy Spirit. You need a way of life that comes by submersion. Okay, that's baptism in the Holy Spirit. But then you know what else you need? You also need a baptism of fire so that it proves your work. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. You need a baptism of fire. I think there is a baptism of fire. Ha! Okay, now, each one's work will be proved. Now look at this. If anyone's work which is endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So as a temple of God, you are a temple of God. What? God lives in you. God lives in us. We're a temple of God. You can't go to the temple. You are the temple. You can run, but you can't hide. He's hiding inside of you. You are the temple of God. You're the place that God lives. Yeah? He put his head on you, his headship. Jesus put his head on your body. You're the body of Christ. And individual members of the body of Christ. I am the presence of God. I'm the house of God. God lives in me. Ah, heaven's not out here. That's Greek thought. Heaven's like a dimension right here, but it's inside of me. And then it influences everything around me. So we're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God's holy, which temple we are. Now, in this fire thing, it's possible that everything could be consumed, and then you'll be saved, but just as escaping the flames. So we'll call that, let's put it on the event. Okay, so we transition out of this life. We leave this dimension into the dimension of heaven, okay? And everything we did in life was selfish. And it's gone. And we're saved. is escaping the flames. Is that what it's about? Is it about getting to heaven when we die? Or is it about getting heaven into this world as much as we can so that when we're celebrating in heaven, we can be part of a cloud of witness that says, whoa, yeah, come on. And we're rooting on our grandkids and great-grandkids. Come on now. We got some relatives right now rooting us on in this room. We got some members of this church rooting us on, cheering us on right now. Very much so in a dimension of eternity. Okay, we got a cloud of witness, an increasing cloud of witness. So each one's work will be tested for what it is. Now, what happens when straw experiences fire? Woof, gone. Now, straw is a material that implies a place to sleep. Let us make a bed. Let's make a bed. Get some straw. It speaks of something that human beings need, which is meet my needs, make me comfortable. If you look at the spirit of the world, which the spirit of the world is simply the spirit of the world. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just the way of the world. And people in the world, they don't know their true identity, so they live to meet their own needs. Me, this is a sheep of the world. Me. And then some of them become a little goat like me. You know, they get a little goatish. Got some sheep mixed goats with sheep. Me. Lots of flocking human beings on planet Earth. And a lot of them are living, meet my need. Make me comfortable. I was born in a house. Give me a bigger house. Comfort. My comfort. Woof. Comfort zones are consumed. Okay. Now, God does not intend for you and I, as sons and daughters of a heavenly Father, to live that small-minded that we live to have our needs met. He wants to meet our needs. He knows our needs before we even ask. He's a good Father, and He knows our needs. He wants to meet our needs. But He doesn't want us to have our needs met. He wants us to be need meters. He wants us to change the world. He wants us to know that we are princes and princesses. We were born for such a time as this. Okay, a second material is hay. Hay is like life is, all flesh is as grass. All flesh is as hay. Hay is a lifetime. Success. A successful life. What am I going to do in life? Hey, look at me. Hey, there's hay. Hey, look at me. I'm a success. I have a successful business. I have a successful adventure. My life was an adventure. I have a successful story. Look at my story. It's all about me. Look at my life. I'm a success. I have a successful business. Look, I have a successful ministry. Look, I have a success. I'm a successful songwriter. I'm a successful artist. Look at me. Look at me. Okay? It's a lifetime. You know what happens when fire hits hay? Woof. Well, you're saved, but where'd the story go? Then there's wood. Wood's a human material that Bible uses wood to talk about generations. If you don't believe the Bible, just think about this. Do you know your family tree? Your family tree would be who's your dad, your mom, your grandpa, your grandma. You see, it's generational. Now, sometimes we build things that are built around a family legacy, a family name that is only human. So we build something that has a little longer term than just our life. We build something that has some form of legacy in it. And so we build this thing out of wood. Maybe we build a multi-generational business or a multi-generational ministry. This church as a facility or an organization. It becomes multi-generational. But you know what? When it's all said and done, in the fire, wood goes woo. It just burns a little longer and a little hotter. But now what happens when gold, silver, and precious stone experience fire? When gold experiences fire, it becomes pure gold. When silver experiences fire, it becomes pure silver. And when precious stones experience fire, it's actually fire that even creates precious stones. Pressure and fire. So these three materials endure in the flames. Endure in the flames. They go on and on and on and on and on in the flames. So I want to build with gold, silver, and precious stone. Prophetically, I told you that you're a people of faith and that God is bringing you to a higher level of faith. He's bringing you to a higher place, another level of grace in faith. This is a faith house. It is a new kind of faith in town. There's a new kind of faith happening. But it needs to be in the materials that endure. Now, here's what I believe. Gold in the Bible is a symbol for divine nature, divine destiny. God is as gold. So humanity often fashions things of idolatry out of gold, creates a god out of gold, the golden calf, a golden created thing. The head of Nebuchadnezzar's statue was gold. I am God, gold. But there's only one God. He is true gold. So what am I building that reveals the divine character, the divine destiny of God? What am I doing that is part of His purpose? Not what am I doing that expands my purpose. What am I doing that is part of His purpose? Silver speaks of things of redemption, redeeming things. Jesus redeemed you. He redeemed me. How much did that cost? The value is a one and only, but 30 pieces of silver is what they sold Jesus for. Now, they thought, I think when Judas betrayed Jesus, I think he thought Jesus was the Messiah. And I think he thought, I'll make some money, and because he is the Messiah, they won't be able to kill him. And I'll just make some money like I've been making money on the side already. And then when he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and he saw that Jesus wasn't going to defend himself, it was more than he could take. So in his weakness, he ended it. But I think he honestly thought he's the Messiah, he won't be able to be killed. I don't think he thought, oh, I think I'll do something really evil and wicked. I think he thought, I'm going to do my thing, and he's going to prove to be the Messiah, and everybody's going to be okay. I'm going to make 30 pieces of silver. But you know what? God didn't see 30 pieces of silver. What he saw was 3 is a symbol of God, and 10 is a symbol of a judgment of love. That's what it means prophetically. So 3 times 10. A judgment of love was God was willing to be sold for a judgment of love. You know, that is material that don't burn in fire. So Jesus' act of dying for you and I was redemptive in its testimony. And that is an enduring material. He revealed the Father to us, that's gold, and he was redemptive in his testimony. Okay, and then also we have precious stones, and precious stones, they have an individual character, a testimony. So let's talk about this just a little bit because I want to get somewhere with this for this weekend. So I have a foundation in my life. It's Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure I build on this foundation of Ted Hansen. I want to make sure I build on this foundation of Ted and Bonnie Hansen. I want to make sure I build on this foundation of me as a part of a community expression of Christ, a life community in Bellingham. I'm also part of this city life community here. Not as boots on the ground, but boots that come in and go out and come in and go out. This is also one of my places. So I'm part of this city life expression. And I want to build with things that endure. I want to build something that is the testimony of Christ. Because I was born so that the world that I was born into, you were born, so that the world you were born into will be different in a better way after you're gone. Because you won't really be gone. It'll just be greater in a fuller dimension of life. Death has no sting for us. Okay, now, this foundation. We know the house that was built on the rock, right? Versus the house that was built on the sand. The story in Luke 6, 47 through 49. I've talked on that story here before. So it was important. Let's get a foundation. More important than building the house, let's find the foundation. We can build the house, but we have to have the foundation for the house to be built on. In the story, two houses were built. One house was built on the foundation of rock. The other house was built without a foundation, just on the surface of sand. Both houses, Jesus says, both houses are like men who hear God, except for one heard and built their house, not realizing, not responding to what they heard. The other heard and then dug until they found the rock, and then they built their house. And then both houses experienced a storm. You are going to experience storms in life. Come to Jesus, you're still going to experience storms in life. Don't come to Jesus, you are going to experience storms in life. There's no environment that's going to protect you from storms. Build a house in Deming, you're going to experience a dust storm. There's no God of dust that sends dust your way. It's just dusty in Deming. You're going to experience a dust storm. You're going to experience a thunderstorm. Move a little farther north, maybe toward the middle, hit a little region of Oklahoma, Kansas, you're going to experience a tornado. No God of heaven's going to send a tornado. You're just going to experience a tornado. There are tornado storms in Oklahoma. There are tornado storms in the Texas Panhandle. There are tornado storms in Wichita, Kansas. I have a church in Wichita, Kansas. That I was also part of my family, but they have tornadoes every now and then. Okay? I live close to where there is volcanoes, and I live in a forest. Okay, we had a smoke storm. Last year, it lasted a month and a half. The sky was gray. My wife was putting filters in front of a fan so she could breathe because her allergies were so bad because we had smoke. That's called a smoke storm. My wife doesn't smoke, but there was smoke. It didn't keep her free from having to experience, how do I breathe in smoke? See, no matter where you live on planet Earth, you're going to experience a storm. There's going to be an accident. There's going to be a sickness. There's going to be something. Everybody faces a storm. Now, when you face a storm, the question is, what are you attached to? What is the foundation of your life? You go some places, a tornado comes through and it doesn't select. Now let's see. That's a believer, that's a non-believer. That's a believer, that's a non-believer. It doesn't go down there and knock out all the unbelievers' houses and leave the believers' houses alone. I know we like to think that sometimes. We've got a perverted faith sometimes. We think that if we love God, nothing bad will ever happen in our lives. Okay? That depends on how you measure bad. Depends on how you measure bad. Okay? Measuring, if you measure bad by whether good things only happen to you or not, then you're measuring bad wrong. Okay? You should measure it by, if a good God is the foundation of your life, it doesn't matter if it's a bad day or a good day, everything's still going to be all right. Okay? Nothing can separate you from the love of God, not height, not depth, not principality, not power, not life, not death. That doesn't mean you're free from the influence, the attack of principality or power or the attack of death or sickness. It doesn't mean that. It means nothing can separate you from the love of God. So is the foundation of your life nothing bad will happen? Or is the foundation of your life is Christ is the foundation of my life? Okay? That's a stronger level of faith right there. To have the foundation of your life or the foundation of this church, the foundation of the work that you do in life built on this foundation, Jesus Christ. So that is the guarantee of the future. Because some days the whole community needs to be rebuilt. Some days the whole community needs to be rebuilt. I remember I started a construction business. I was in remodeling and we had one of those Texas hailstorms. In my house, I could put my fist clean through the roof in five places where the hail went through. I had a little Chevy Chevette. It looked like a ball peen hammer beat it from front to back. It knocked the windows out. The windshields were shattered out from hail. Okay? And you know what? Everybody on the street, the roof was gone and cars were wrecked and gone in Fort Worth, Texas. Okay? And the hail didn't say, well, now, is that a Christian house? Is that a faith house or a non-faith house? It just went right through. You know what? I quickly adjusted my brand new business to roofing. I hired five roofing crews and man, it launched my business right there. I didn't have insurance in my house. I wasn't living in a flood zone. My wife was home. She had to open the front door and the back door so the river could run through the house, which took all our carpet out. Now, we had insurance for the roof. We had no insurance for the carpet. We had no flood insurance. Okay, but guess what? What the enemy intended for evil turned out for good. I got new carpet because I launched a business. My neighbors, you know, so anyway, I'm just saying, you're not exempt from storms. No. So the guarantee of your future is your foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ, and the material of Jesus Christ is gold, silver, and precious stone. He's forever enduring. The fire didn't destroy him. He revealed the Father in all that he was and all that he did. He revealed the redemptive purpose of God in all that he was and all that he did, and he revealed the character and the testimony of God. Okay, now, so foundations are made of stones. So the rock of the life-giving stone of Jesus Christ. There's another scripture we've used here before in Peter where we said Jesus Christ is a living stone and we're built on that living stone to also be living stones. He's precious to us. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. To those who don't believe, he's a cornerstone, but to those who believe, he's precious. Cornerstone is what he is. It's not who he is. Who he is precious to those who believe. To those who don't believe, they only see what he is, a cornerstone, and then he becomes a rock of offense. If God says to you, I am the cornerstone of your life, you have ideas what a cornerstone is. And you're going to measure him by cornerstone. And when he manifests differently than what you think a cornerstone is, you're going to get offended and you're going to reject him. Because you're going to measure him by the cornerstone, but you have no clue what a cornerstone is. So the only way that he can be a cornerstone in your life is for you to see him for who he really is, not what he is. You have to see him as precious, meaning I have to see him as I cannot live without you. Because if you see him as I cannot live without you, now he can change you and you won't require him to change. Okay, you want to know what precious is? Let's all hold our breath. And we'll find out how precious air is. It won't be too long before we'll be saying, give me a breath, right? Okay, because air is precious. Or let's say, let's not drink water for the next few days. And it won't be long before we'll be starting to realize how precious it is. We need to drink water. Or let's not use the bathroom for the next few days. We'll see how precious getting rid of things can be. Or let's not eat. We'll see how precious food is to us. So it's precious because we die without it. Jesus Christ, the foundation of my life, is precious to me. I die without him. It's not what he is, it's who he is. He can be whatever he needs to be. I have no idea what a cornerstone looks like. I don't know. I don't have any idea what heavenly things look like. I'm on the earth. I've seen some heavenly things, but I need faith. Things I haven't seen, heard, or thought before. I need to be changed by him. So if I expect him to be what I know already, he's not going to change me. But if I expect him to be what I've never seen him to be, and then I say, well, you're precious to me, I can't live without you. Now, when he manifests different than I've seen before, he can change me. And he will change me. And you know what? I'll be malleable. I'll be moldable. I'll be transitionable. I'll be changeable. I'll be like a precious stone. You know, a precious stone starts out as a piece of coal sometimes. And then it becomes a pressure pressed, fire transformed precious stone. And gold becomes malleable. It's separated from its ore. It's separated from its foreign things come out of it. It becomes purified. It becomes shapeable, moldable. Silver also. It gets changed by the presence of him. I need to be changed by your presence, God. I need to be changed by your presence, God. And I'm going to do works that match the constant growing reality of your changes in my life. Woo! I'm going to do works that match the constant changing transformations that you're bringing in my life. Now, he's a life-giving stone, a living stone. You're a living stone. Your works are testimony of living stone. Living stones are things that reveal things like gold, silver, precious values. Now, living stone, I like to say a life-giving stone. Because in a world that lives for hay, straw, hay, or wood, a world that lives for meet my need, make me comfortable, let me be successful, let me leave a legacy. In a world that lives for me, it's a taking reality. What can I do? What can I be? What can I get? In that world, I define living as what makes me come alive. But that's not truly living because I don't really know what life is. True living is when you become life-giving. You know you're alive because the people who are your friends come alive when they're around you. A life-giving stone. I'm a life-giving stone. Now, in the Old Testament, when it talked about worship, there are three sounds that I think are predominant in worship. And they sound like this. God is great. God is good and His mercy endures forever. Whenever they set the foundation, Ezra records it, and they declare the praise of God. God is great, and then they said, God is good, and His mercy endures forever. I'm going to take those three attributes, and I'm going to say, these are attributes of life-giving stones. They always declare, God is great, there's gold. God is good, it's always redemptive, okay, God is great, God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Okay? So I'll take these three attributes. Now, when Solomon built the temple, he used three materials for stones. I'm not going to go too much farther. I'm just setting a foundation. I want to be reminded of the foundation of my life. I want to be reminded of the foundation of this church. I want to be reminded of the foundation of my marriage. What's the foundation of my family? What's the foundation of my apostolic travels to the nations? What's the foundation? It has to sound like this. God is great. God is good. And His mercy endures forever. Solomon built a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Individually, God lives in you. Corporately, God lives in us. This church is not a place that we go to get our needs met. Although, needs will be met. This is not a place we go to be successful. Although, we will be successful, hopefully we'll be more significant. This is not a place we go to create a legacy, although there may be a legacy. Obviously, we have a church that's gone through a few name changes. Okay? So there is an aspect of the humanity that is straw, hay, or wood, but that's not why we're really here. We didn't come to this church to get our needs met. If you did, this church is going to disappoint you and woof, it's going to be gone. You're going to be gone. Okay. It can burn up. It's going to burn up. So we're here for a greater purpose. Okay. I'm sent to you to remind you. I remind you of this all the time. Every time I come, we're here for a greater purpose. Okay. Okay. We were singing greater purpose stuff. The two songs we sang, greater purpose stuff, greater things He can do. Okay. So we want to be here so we have to know the foundation is Jesus Christ. So anything we do declares God is great, God is good, His mercy endures forever. So we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. When Solomon built a temple, he used three different materials found in 1 Kings. I'll give you the verse if you want to write it down. It's found in 1 Kings 5:17. And he built a house with large stones. He built it with costly stones, precious stones. And he built it with cut stones, hewn stones. Okay? So large stones, expensive, precious stones, and he built it with stones that were cut, hewn, fit to other stones. Okay? So to be a temple of God's Holy Spirit, it has to be built with large stones. It has to be built with precious stones. And it has to be built with cut stones. Now, I believe that God is doing something in the earth right now to help us become a greater testimony of the temple of God. Not to keep people out, but to connect people to God. To get people in to the place of knowing that they too are a house that God lives in. All right? Connecting people to God. I've heard that somewhere. Amen. Okay. So to connect people to God, I have to first be connected to God. I can't connect people to God if I'm not connected to God. I can't tell. Connect to God if I'm not connected to God. Now, how would you know that I'm connected to God? The sound of my life would always sound like this. God is great. God is good. And His mercy endures forever. Because to be connected to God, I got to be the material of the temple. Now, the first one is a huge stone. Now, if I find something in the Old Testament, I have to be able to find it in the New Testament. These things endure. Large stones, precious stones, and cut stones last. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about all the charisma of the Holy Spirit and then the ministry of the body and then the works of the Father. But then in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, well, you know, none of this means anything without love. So you got to have love. So love is what makes all this stuff happen, because all this stuff works through love. And said, all the stuff will disappear. Woof. All the stuff will burn up. But these three remain. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love. I'm here to tell you tonight that in the foundation of your life and in the foundation of this church, in the foundation of your marriage, in the foundation of your family, in the foundation of anything you do in life, the only things that will endure are faith, hope, and love. And they are large stones, precious stone, and cut stones. Let me show you how it works. And this is the temple that God lives in. The future of this church is dependent upon your foundation. Now, foundations that are human foundations are stuck in the past. The foundations that are eternal in Christ constantly grow in the walls, grow in the house. Life-giving stones. A huge stone. I'm going to call a huge stone a stone that is not easily shaken, cannot be moved. It's called faith. Faith comes how? By hearing. Okay? Where? We quote the thing, right? You know, I always do it.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
I have it on my refrigerator. Okay? That's true. Faith comes by hearing the rhema of God, God speaking to you. So what does that mean in real life? Take it off the pages as a statement about truth, and now make it a statement of truth in your life. It means I heard God in my heart. What was said on the page leaped from the inside of me out. I heard God. I have faith. I heard God. I have faith. So we expose ourselves to what God has said so that we can hear what He is saying, right? So I have faith. Faith comes by hearing. I've preached to you before about we are called to be obedient to the faith. We're not called to be obedient to a belief system. We're called to be obedient to the faith. That means every day I have to hear God. I have to hear God. To have faith, faith is not something I can do. Faith is a supernatural thing. It happens when I hear God. I heard God. Whoa, faith. Something in me happened, made me unshakable, made me immovable. Why? I heard God. Okay, now, how does faith work? It works through, Faith works through, anybody know? Love. Okay, which means where love is not, faith doesn't work. Where there is no love, faith cannot work. Faith is not toward a promise. Faith is toward a promiser. Faith is always toward a person because promises don't speak. And faith doesn't come by promises. It comes by hearing God. It comes by hearing the one who speaks. Even in human terms, faith toward my wife comes when I hear my wife in my heart. And then I do something in her direction that is faith toward her. An expression of, I heard her love. I love you. So faith comes by hearing. So to be a large stone an immovable stone. I have to be a stone that hears him, faith. So I'm calling us to another measure in this, that daily we hear God. Daily we hear God. We heard him yesterday, but his voice today is stronger than his voice yesterday. We hear God today. I'm not living in the past. How about you? I'm not living in the past. I'm grateful for the in the days, but this is another day. It's another day to hear God. Why? This house is a house that endures. My life is a life that endures. I'm going to build with material that hears him, responds to his voice. The one who hears on the rock is they hear and they respond to what he said. So which means I've always got to have a revelation. He loves me. He loves me. Sometimes little prophetic things happen, silly prophetic things happen to me, and it's years later when I figure out that that was actually a prophetic thing. I was in Angola, Africa, in Luanda. Luanda, Africa is a place I work. They're my people. Luanda is built for 650,000 people, but there are 6.5 million people in Luanda. With open trench sewers and everything dumps into the ocean, which means that 6.5 million poops per day minimum going into the water. Doesn't that sound nice? It's true. Very true. These are my people. This is where I go. Okay. Now something needs to change. Okay. Now it's changing in the heart, changing in the thinking. Every human's got to do their part. Okay. But in the midst of Luanda, to drive from here, I'm staying up here at the Choice, it's Quality Inn up here. Okay, so that doesn't take me too long to drive there. From there to here isn't even, not even 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. Okay, to drive that distance in Luanda could take you 2 hours. Because 6.5 million people driving cars on the road, and it's usually bumper to bumper. So they're selling things then, because that's how they make a living. What happens is a big truck comes with a bunch of Chinese stuff on it, and then the people get the Chinese stuff, and then they go out on the street and they sell the Chinese stuff to make a little money. That's how they make a living. That's their job. That's how they survive. Okay? So out in the middle of this congested thing, one day, I have a picture on my phone of this. There's a guy standing with a painting about this high. It's a print. It's a copy, replica. And then a mirror the same size. And this one is a picture of Mona Lisa. Okay, now, I'm in Luanda, Africa. Okay, I'm in Luanda, Africa, where my people have more pigmentation in their skin than I do. Okay, my family there is, they are my brothers and sisters from another mother. Okay, so I have no pigmentation. They have lots of pigmentation. Okay. Sometimes the only one that's as light as me is the one that I saw when I looked in the mirror that day. Okay. So out in the middle of the street, this guy has got a white Mona Lisa for sale. And I'm thinking, who in the world here is going to buy a Mona Lisa? Where did the Mona Lisa come from? Who in the world here is going to buy a Mona Lisa? And he had a mirror. Okay. Just last week, I got a revelation on it. Okay, you know, Mona Lisa, pretty famous. And she's not famous because she's the most beautiful woman on planet Earth. But she became a beautiful lady because the painter saw beauty was in the eyes of the beholder to paint this Mona Lisa. And Mona Lisa is one of the most popular women in history. There's paintings, for goodness sakes, they're selling a picture of Mona in Luanda, Africa. But next to this painting, of this replica of Mona Lisa, is a mirror the same size. And you know what? I got a revelation last week. That mirror, if you look in it, do you know what you see? A one and only. And beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And God wants the 6.5 million people of Luanda to know that they are as important as Mona Lisa. And we need more mirrors. So my question to you now is, your foundation in your life is Jesus Christ. And you need to build with materials that endure. And the first material is you've got to be a large stone. And it's going to take a revelation. Here it is. You are loved. Now that qualifies you to hear the one who speaks. To the degree that you know he loves you is a degree that you can become a large stone, is a degree that you can build with things that endure. So I want you to go home tonight, and I want you to, before you go to bed, I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to see God saying to you, you were born to be loved. I love you. I want every mirror in your house to get healed so that you don't see. If you see something different than that in the mirror, you're not seeing what God sees and you're not going to build correctly. You have to be a stone that can't be shaken. And the only way you can be a stone that can't be shaken is on a good day, you know, I was born to be loved. He loves me. And on your worst day, you look in the mirror and you still see, whoa, I was born to be loved. You love me, and nothing can separate me from that. Because to build in life, the foundation has to be a stone of faith. Can't be shaken. Large stone. Okay? Second stone. Precious stones. Okay? Precious stones. Three things that endure: faith, hope. I believe that right now, as the body of Christ, as City Life Church in Deming or wherever, God's calling us to another level of being large stones, not easily shaken, not easily moved, because we know we were born to be loved. I was born to be loved. But now, He also wants us to understand not only were we born to be loved, we were born again to love Him. We were born again because we were loved. We were born again to love Him. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. By faith, you enter into grace. And in grace, there's tribulation, pressure. And then you persevere. The Greek word is to cheerfully endure. You cannot say I'm persevering in my marriage if you're not cheerful. You cannot say you're persevering in this church if you're not cheerful. You can't say you're persevering in your job if you're not cheerful. You can't say you're persevering in your life if you're not cheerful. You have to have cheerful endurance. That's perseverance. Cheerful endurance, that's the Greek word. It isn't suck on persimmons, be miserable, hold on and endure in the flesh. It's choose to embrace grace. Grace changes you. So you persevere, and then what manifests is character. What character? The real you in Christ. And what do you see? What happens then? Character becomes hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We go in this tribulation, pressure. So here's the deal. You are a precious stone. You're the temple of God. And everything around you is going to tell you a lie. You're going to say, you are not what you say you are. You are not what you say you are. You are not what you say you are. And you have to know how to cheerfully endure, knowing that God's manifest presence, His grace in your life, is going to cause you to manifest who you really are. Hope. You're a one of a kind. If you're called to be a leader, then weapons are going to come against you to say, you're not a leader. You're not a leader. You're not a leader. If you're called to be merciful, weapons are going to come against you to say, you're not merciful. You're not merciful. Weapons are going to be formed against the real you. Just look at right now what's going on in the world right now. There are so many fake things, lies that are telling you it's truth. You listen to the news, you're not hearing the truth. I don't care what you listen to. You're not hearing the truth. You're hearing what they want you to believe the truth is. Why? Because the enemy hates what's happening right now, and hope is about to manifest in the church. The real, authentic you. Prophetic words were right now is authentic, real. That's prophetic. But the world is taking authentic and creating lies and calling it authentic. The authentic you is not like everybody else. It's the authentic real you. And that's what makes you a precious stone. That's what gives you the ability to have an ability to reveal the testimony of God. You have to be a house that is unshakable, a house that knows your love. But then you have to be a house that is also reveals the one-of-a-kind testimony, like a precious stone that manifests the light. You reveal something of God. You give hope to others. Who you are gives hope to somebody else. But who you are becomes manifest by the flames. And so you become hope. The temple of God, what are we building with? Are we building with material that manifests hope? We're overcomers. We overcame by the word of our testimony. He loves us, but now we love him. We have a testimony. Get ready. Watch and see. Be awake. Expect it. Testimony, 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 testimony. Here, there, everywhere. Testimony, testimony. He overcame. She overcame. Whoa, he overcame. She overcame. Oh, they overcame. They overcame. I release a grace of overcoming in this house. I declare overcoming in this house, that hope will not be deferred, but hope will manifest here and there. And there should be no hope. There was great loss. There should be no hope. But in spite of the pain and the loss of that which is natural, that which was supernatural overcame. And what was coal became a diamond. What was earth became a precious stone. And the real you was revealed. The true identity of you is coming out. And the true identity of this church is coming out. What's true individually is true corporately. Third and final ingredient, we're done. Cut stones, hewn stones. When Solomon cut these stones, it says he did not cut them in the temple. He cut them in the quarry, and then they carried them to the temple. Cut stones are stones that fit with other stones. God is great. How do you know? He loves me. I have faith. I hear him. God is good. How do you know? Look, I've got a testimony. I've overcome. I'm a one and only. I'm happy with who I am. I looked in the mirror and I saw, wow, you really shine. I looked in the mirror and I said, whoa, he loves me. I looked in the mirror and I said, whoa, you're a one and only, dude. You love him. You're a testimony of him. But what about stones that fit with other stones? God is good. God is great. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. The temple of God is a place that knows they're loved by God. It's a place that reveals they love God. But then it's also a place that loves one another. You're going to have to be a cut stone. If you're not a cut stone, you'll try to cut the stones in the temple. But if you're a cut stone in your private place of the quarry, then you'll become someone who can fit with other stones, which means you will be merciful, not mercy-ish. And you won't judge others with a judgment of law. You'll judge others with the judgment of love. God is taking us on a journey, people, so that we can become the place of His presence individually, in our marriages, in our families, in this church, in the community, to build with materials that are eternal, faith, hope, and love. We're not talking love that's a revelation that knows you are loved, but love that is merciful to love. And God wants to bring us into that transition. I promise you, if your marriage is built on these three materials, your marriage will flourish because you will be merciful toward one another. And you'll be unshakable in your own ability to be loved. You'll know God loves me. You'll be a stone of faith. You'll be a testimony of I am who I am so that you can be who you are. And together we love Him. And you'll be one and only. You'll have hope in your marriage. And then you'll fit with your partner. You won't demand your partner fits with you. And you'll fit with your partner because you'll be merciful. Faith, hope, and love remain forever. I'm going to pray this, seal this. We'll talk more on Sunday. But I know we're on a journey. I know that this is a journey that God has us on. You know, if I'm going to be a rock that's based on the past, I'm not going to be very merciful to the present. I'm not sure I like being a merciful rock. But that's the true rock of Christ. He isn't mercy-ish. He's merciful. And He made a judgment for all human beings. Mercy, eternal life for all who believe. All can believe. It's your choice. So, Father, thank You. I pray that everyone's mirror will get healed. I pray that tonight, when they go home, they look in the mirror, they'll see in the reflection, You love me, God. I pray that they'll even be able to see a glimpse, though it be dimly. Let them see it increasing from the inside of them out, that they are a one and only, a testimony of You, a precious stone, cannot live without them. And I pray that they'll also be able to look in that mirror and to see Your mercy endures forever, that they will see that they also are someone who can love others. Help us, God, to be the temple of Your Holy Spirit. Help us, God, in our individual lives and our corporate lives. Help us as a church family. Help us as City Life Community Church to be an influence in this community. As a people who know we're loved, a people who are a people of faith, a people who are loving You, a people who are a people of hope, and a people who love one another so that we can also love this city well. We're a people of love. In Jesus' name, amen.